Good morning, and welcome to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis, and good to have you with us this morning. Just several announcements before we come into our time of worship together. This week, we're praying for folks on page 47 in our church directory, and we'll be praying for the folks at the Richland Church of the Brethren, not too far down the road from us, and the Jennersville Church of the Brethren will be praying for us. Also, in our prayers, several of our members within the last week have had positive COVID tests and are waiting for tests. Fortunately, none of the ones that we're talking about were here among us for worship last Sunday. So, but we want to keep our whole congregation in prayer in that regard. Reminder that the Christmas tree and the gathering place is a spot where you can donate some socks and put them up on the tree. And a reminder also that if there need to be any directory changes for your entries in the directory or commissions and so on, they need to be given to Joanne Houts by the end of the year. Also, Barb Weidman just asked me to remind the bell choir people that bells will be suspended until further notice. We won't be playing again until further notice. I've also had a request, and I was talking to Mary Jane for a while this morning, but somebody said, could we sing Happy Birthday to Mary Jane Smith, whose 90th birthday was yesterday? So let's sing Happy Birthday to Mary Jane. Where are you sitting, Mary Jane? There you are. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Well, we were a little off tune, Mary Jane, but you got the right idea. Yes. Let's join together in a time of worship as Barb leads us. Thank you.
is the first Sunday of Advent. If ever there was a year we needed Advent, it is this year. We hardly know how to describe the year as we lived through it. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in 2020. All we know is that nothing seems right, nothing seems like it used to be, and nothing. We need Advent.
The prophet Isaiah cried out for us, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down to make your name known, so that nations might tremble at your presence. So tear through the mess, O Lord, and come down to us again. We long to be your people, a people of hope."
We light this first candle as a sign of our hope. Hope that we can meet us even in the mess of our world. Hope that we can still see us through we feel we are lost in the rubble. Let this light be the guide that brings us to Emmanuel once more. Can everybody stand and sing the third verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? That's in our hearts. Of your mercy, grace, and love. Amen. Okay, now we'll sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
told me that he had a frog in his throat and if I would cover for him.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I'm going to read from Ephesians 1:3-14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless, before him to love. He disdained us for adoption of his children through Jesus Christ, according to these good pleasures of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of the trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to this good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as he planned for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained his inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. So that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when he had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, has have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge and inheritance towards redemption of God's own people to praise of his glory. Okay, now I hear Kathy.
Thank you.
So you got to tell me, did you have your duck for Thanksgiving? No. Oh, I was looking forward to hearing all about that duck. You had what?
We had turkey.
You had turkey. Okay, so did I. Okay. I remembered you telling me that from last Sunday. Well, did you have a nice Thanksgiving, though? Good? That's good. All right. Well, I don't know. Those of you who know how to read can tell me. On the bulletin this morning, right at the top here, it says, this is the first Sunday of Advent. This year we jump right from Thanksgiving into Advent. Now, does anybody know what Advent is? No? Okay. Well, Isaiah and Adam, you came up and you helped light a candle, right? Okay. And it was the first Advent candle. And that's called an Advent wreath. And each Sunday, for four Sundays, we're going to light one of those candles. Okay? And then at Christmas time, we light the white one in the middle. It's called the Christ candle. Okay? The word Advent means arrival or of a coming. Okay? Someone who's come. An arrival. Now, on that first Christmas, who arrived? On the first Christmas?
God.
Good, good, good. In the form of the baby Jesus, right? Okay, yes. Jesus arrived on that first Christmas. And during Advent, we talk about some different themes. Each candle, the candle you lit this morning is the candle of joy. Okay? Because we're happy, we're joyful. Excuse me, it's not joy. I'm ahead of myself. It's hope. Okay? The first candle is the candle of hope. And we're hope. We have hope because Jesus came and gives us hope. Okay? And the next candle, the one that gets lit next Sunday, is called the candle of preparation. Because we're preparing ourselves for Jesus' arrival. Now, some of you maybe put Christmas decorations up at home already. Okay? You're preparing that way. But more important is that we prepare ourselves to receive Jesus. Okay? The pink candle is the candle of joy. Okay? We light that on the third Sunday. Because we're happy, we're joyful that Jesus came. And then the fourth one is the candle of love. Because of Jesus, we know love. We have love for one another, and Jesus has love for us, and God has love for us. And that, you know, the wreath is round, okay? The wreath is round. And it just tells us that God surrounds us with his love, and he surrounds us with hope, and he surrounds us with peace, and he surrounds us with joy. Okay, so as we light those candles, think about those different themes and the season of Advent when we celebrate Christ's coming. Let's say a prayer together, okay? God, we thank you for this season of Advent where we can remember again your coming into the world to give us hope and peace and joy and love. Be with these children, I pray in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we rejoice in the season that's upon us. It's not the Santas and the reindeer and the presents to open on Christmas morning, but the real reason of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, our Savior, who died to save our souls and be with those in the hospitals or healing at home or nursing homes. May we have peace on earth this time of year. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be reading John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into him, being through him, and without him. Not one thing came into being. What was come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome into light.
Well, like I said to the children, it's here.
The season of Advent and Christmas 2020.
Sorry, Dave, I turned it off instead of turning it on. I've noticed that maybe it's because we're needing to feel good in the midst of this year that has been a trial for many of us, that many people have already been putting out their Christmas decorations. In fact, some started right after Halloween. On last evening news also, there was a report that there's an uptick of about 25% in the demand for live Christmas trees this year. So I think this, the sentimentality of the year, because of the year we've been in, is showing itself. Well, for me, it used to be the sign that used to confirm that the Advent and Christmas season had arrived was a big, thick newspaper that arrived on the day before Thanksgiving, filled with all of those Black Friday flyers. Maybe you remember some of those. Since we stopped our newspaper subscription, that didn't happen this year, but the commercialism has not gone away. It's just found another way to make itself known, like the uptick in ads showing up on my emails and text messages. And I wouldn't be surprised if one pops up on the screen of my iPad here during the midst of my sermon, too, this morning. Well, maybe some of you went out searching for some Black Friday bargains yesterday. Safely, of course. Now, for a number of years now, the retail industry has made this weekend after Thanksgiving a long one, starting with Black Friday, and then adding Small Business Saturday, and then coming tomorrow, Cyber Monday, which really this year has turned into Cyber Every Day, to help us with our holiday spending. And if you like holiday movies, this is your time of year. Subscription services like Netflix and Hulu and the cable channels all have an inexhaustible supply of holiday movies you've never heard of. And of course, radio stations like 101.3 are running nonstop holiday music as well. And here at the church, signs are all around us as well. The bell choir had been practicing for Christmas. But that's changed now. But the children are preparing some songs for us on Sunday, the 13th of December. And obviously, some of you were busy here at the church yesterday putting up decorations. And this morning, we lit the first candle of Advent. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll be hearing again those themes that I told the children about of hope, peace, joy, and love represented in those candles in the Advent wreath. We'll be hearing words from the ancient Israelite prophets who spoke of the one who was to come. And we'll read the familiar story of Christ's birth. As the song lyrics say, it absolutely is the most wonderful time of the year. Well, this Advent and Christmas season, I'm going to be preaching through the Gospel of John's version of the Christmas story, found in John 1, verses 1 through 18. Now, at first glance, it seems that John might not have known much about the story of Jesus' birth. While he mentions John the Baptist briefly in his opening verses, there's no Mary, no Joseph, no manger, no Bethlehem, no shepherds, no angels, no wise men, none of that familiar Christmas story that we find in Matthew and Luke. No words like, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." No, John takes a different approach. John might not tell us anything about the details of Jesus' birth, but he does give us details about the meaning of his birth. He tells us that because the Word became flesh, we can know God who came and lived among us. He tells us that light and life have come into the world through the one he calls the Word in these verses. John tells us what God accomplished by coming as the Word made flesh. And because God became one of us in Jesus and lived among us, he says we can gain a new identity as God's beloved children. John's gospel is not so much a biography of the life of Jesus as it is a major theological statement of who Jesus is, the Christ, the God of creation, who, as Eugene Peterson says it in the Message, moved into the neighborhood and lived among us. John is telling us why the birth we celebrate is so vitally important. So this Advent season, we're going to focus on John's introduction to Jesus in those first 18 verses of his gospel. You know, often in a musical play, the play begins with what is called a prologue, which includes bits and pieces of music that you're going to hear later on in the performance. And those 18 verses which begin John's gospel are a kind of prologue. These 18 verses are a passage packed with meaning and metaphor. John's prologue provides us with insights which can enhance our understanding and appreciation of the birth narratives of Matthew and Luke. And while those two gospels highlight the humanity of Jesus without denying his deity, John's gospel highlights the deity of Jesus without minimizing his humanity. So today we focus on the first five verses. John wants to show his readers who Jesus is. John's purpose in writing isn't just to provide a chronology of Jesus' life. What John tells us about Jesus forms the basis for much of Orthodox Christian theology concerning the nature of God and the identity of God's Son, Jesus. John uses words to create images for us of who Jesus is. And throughout his gospel, we find word images which revealed to us much about Jesus' identity, beginning right here in verse 1, where he identifies Jesus as the Word. Later in his gospel, John gives other word messages that such as the Lamb of God, and many word identities which also Jesus spoke concerning himself, things like true bread and light of the world, and all those I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate, the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. Words which describe for us the Logos, the Word, who is from the beginning, who was with God and is God, the Word who is God. You know, we use words lots of different ways. Oftentimes words describe, for example, a beautiful sunset or my perfect grandchildren. We use words to question, to motivate, to amuse. Words can call for attention. Words can both harm and heal. Sometimes words can be used to accomplish something. The words become the action. And oftentimes those kinds of words are reserved for solemn, holy, even life-changing occasions. For example, that familiar phrase, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Or words such as, with this ring I thee wed. Or a preacher's words, which hopefully accomplish something in the lives of the listeners. In Genesis 1, we're told that God spoke and creation came into being at his word. John's words seek to accomplish something also. In chapter 20, verse 31, he says, his words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By identifying him as the Word, John is making a significant statement concerning the identity of Jesus. Psalm 33:6 identifies the Word as the agent of creation. By the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. At other times, God spoke his Word to the people through his servants, the prophets. God's Word, God's law, expresses God's standard of holiness. In Hebrew thought, the Word, in quotes the Word, was another expression for God. And for John, the Word is Jesus, God become flesh. To Jewish readers, identifying Jesus, the Word, as God was blasphemous. And to Greek readers, the Word became flesh was unbelievable, unthinkable. To John, this new understanding of the Word was gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1, 1 through 4, the apostle writes these words, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. John said, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. John walked with Jesus. He sat at his feet while Jesus taught. John was there when Jesus died. He saw and experienced the risen Christ. He watched as Jesus ascended into heaven. John was there. And John is passionate about Jesus, and he wants others to know this same Jesus that he knew. John wants us to know the one he had seen and heard, that we too might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in his name. Well, obviously, you get to know someone best when you see them and hear them in person. Words can only go so far in helping us understand. A picture is better, worth a thousand words, as they say. While in person is best, the experience of one who has been there, who has personally heard, who has seen with his own eyes, of one who looked at and touched with his own hands, his is a testimony that we can trust concerning Jesus. So John uses words to paint a picture of who Jesus is so that we can also know him just as John knew him. In those first five verses, the apostle introduces us to some of these images of Jesus. The Word, who is Jesus Christ. He introduces us to Jesus as Creator. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He introduces Jesus as the source of real life. In him was life, he says. He introduces us to Jesus as light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you notice a similarity between the opening of John's Gospel and the opening verses of the book of Genesis? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's first act was to dispel the darkness. God spoke his word, and there was light. Then God created the things necessary to sustain life, water and dry land, lights for the day and night. He created living things, vegetation, sea creatures, birds, land animals, and finally his most precious creation, us. God spoke his word, and it was done, and it was good. Now, maybe John is guilty of a little plagiarism here. Actually, in his day, that was perfectly acceptable. He starts his gospel using the opening line of Scripture itself in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. John places Jesus at creation and as the instrument of creation, but is also speaking of a new beginning, of a new creation, God's new creation in Christ, the Word of God made flesh. John speaks of Jesus' eternal existence. Jesus was before creation. Jesus was present in the beginning. John tells us Jesus was part of creating from the very beginning. All things came into being through him. And in this new beginning, God's eternal word, God's character, reason, order, God's very being has come down to the creation to take on human flesh and in human form dwell with us. Heaven and earth touched on that day Jesus was born. Of course, that was not the first time God was personally involved in human history. In the beginning, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden until that day they disobeyed and were banished. Even so, God continued to be at work in the world through the covenant he made with the children of Israel, through the law, the judges, the kings, the prophets. But now, John tells us, God was once more getting personally involved with humanity, taking on human flesh and dwelling with us as one of us. And why would God do this? Well, because, John says, the world has fallen into darkness and needs to see some light. God comes into our darkness to bring God's word of light. In him was life, and that life was the light for us. God in Jesus entered into our struggle, into our darkness, to show us this light of life, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. God was a source of life at creation, and now Jesus gives us new life in him. Again, in 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Christ takes us from the darkness of our lives and the darkness of this world to God's amazing light. It's all about transformation from nothing to something, from emptiness to life, from darkness to light. Chet Minnick was one of my dad's best friends. Dad and Chet were both carpenters at what was back in those days Hershey Lumber Company. Chet owned a cabin in the mountains of Perry County. I vividly recall spending a night at Chet's cabin with my family. It was the darkest night I think I have ever experienced. When the lights went out, I literally could not see my hands in front of my face. There was no moonlight, no light, night lights, no dusk to dawn lights, no light at all. It was pitch dark, and nothing was visible at all. If I'd gotten out of bed, I wouldn't have known where I was going. I would have been walking blindly. My Greek lexicon defines biblical darkness as the state of being unknown. The state of being unknown. Being unknown, walking blindly, unable to see what's coming, what you might stumble into, no sense of direction. Darkness to light. Going from being unknown to being known. From walking blindly to having direction for life in God's light. Possessing a will and a purpose, acting and reacting. God's light in Jesus Christ makes that transformation happen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, cannot, and never will overcome it. And it's into this earthly darkness that heaven's light shines.
All of us struggle. All are broken. Many of us feel we're part of humanity's mess, constantly moving and going nowhere. We find frustrations in our relationships, our systems, and even ourselves. We're lonely, we're cynical, we're scared. They felt this too, even more so.
2,000 years ago, their everyday existence was what we would consider third world, covered in spiritual darkness, smothered in political violence and oppression. But heaven's light shines into this.
There in a cold, wet cave lay a god who put on flesh. A god who, for some strange reason, was choosing to dwell among people.
Into the heart of the familiar, this baby
holds the potential to restore humanity's belief in the extraordinary. Heaven's light shines into this. With his life, he will save. With his death, he will conquer.
And with his love, he will answer the question, what is God really like?
What is God really like?
What is God really like?
So even though we sit 2,000 years beyond this event,
can we really sit beyond this event?
The one who was held by Mary is now holding us.
the one who cried in the middle of the night,
is now wiping the tears.
And now he's wiping the tears from our eyes.
This newborn is offering new birth wherever you are.
Whatever you're in the middle of, however the story of your life has unfolded,
the news is good.
The news is very, very good.
Heaven's light shines into this.
Years ago, God chose to put on flesh and come into this world to dwell with people. People who have the same feelings we do. People whose everyday existence we 21st century Americans cannot begin to imagine. People who lived under political violence and oppression in a world of spiritual darkness. Truth be told, the world is still in darkness. Hate, divisions of class and creed, political divisions, wars, murders sometimes in our own neighborhoods. The list could go on. We still live in darkness, and we more than ever need God's light. And it was into this broken world that the Word, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, came and lived, and still lives among us today in His Spirit. Jesus did not come to just explain God. He is God, the personified Word of God, the one in whom we know what God is like. In Him we see God. In believing and receiving Him, we're given the opportunity for new life. In Him we are recreated and transformed into children of God, into children of light. Because of Jesus, we do not need to be in darkness any longer. In Him, we'll not walk blindly with no sense of direction or purpose. Because He is God, Jesus recreates us and transforms us into children of light. You know, it's our human nature to think that we don't need any help, that we can handle our lives ourselves, that our secrets are our secrets. But that is living in darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life." Now, the darkness has duped us into thinking freedom is doing what we want, of being in control of our lives. Life in Christ is freedom. Freedom from the darkness of guilt, despair, lack of purpose and will. Real freedom is living in Christ's light and seeking to be the person God created you to be. So no matter where you are today, no matter how your life has unfolded, the good news is this. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Because the eternal God came to live among us in Jesus, God knows what we experience in this life. God knows about whatever darkness is casting its shadow in your life. And God wants to shine His light into those dark recesses of your life. No matter where you are today, no matter how your life is unfolded, no matter what darkness is hiding in your life, heaven's light can shine into your life. You see, darkness never wins. Light overcomes darkness, always. Ephesians 5:8-14, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Christmas is not just a story of two frightened parents, a child born in a manger in an obscure Judean village, or about angels and shepherds and stars and wise men. Christmas is not a sentimental story we remind ourselves about each year and then put away until the next year. John tells us it's about so much more. Perhaps that's why John gives no attention to the details of Jesus' birth. John is more interested in our birth, our new birth, as children of God. And maybe what John is trying to tell us is that Christmas is not really about Jesus' birthday after all. Rather, it's about ours. On Christmas, we celebrate our new birth as children of God. We celebrate God keeping his promises. We celebrate the beginning of the restoration of all things. Things as it was in the beginning. We celebrate at Christmas the end of darkness and the power of Christ's light to transform us and this world, to make it as it was in the beginning. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, "Oh, How Shall I Receive Thee?" May you find hope and joy and peace as you walk in Christ's light this day and always. Go now and walk in the light of Christ and be blessed. Amen.